Moncrief on News Talk.
It is National Lazy Day. Happy National Lazy Day to you all. But I know I can see some of you dismissing it out there as an excuse to stay on the sofa. Some experts, though, say there's real value in actually doing less. They argue that strategic laziness can actually boost creativity, improve productivity and help prevent burnout. Joining us now is Mally Coyne, chartered clinical psychologist and author, to explain why. Mally, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fionnuala. How are you?
So what is this strategic laziness that I'm reading about here? Is that not just plain old laziness slobbing on the couch? What's the difference?
No, not at all. With this article that was written by Chris Lovett, they're describing is that not everything requires 100% of our effort all the time. And it's important to conserve our energy for what really matters and allow ourselves periods where we're not visibly producing something. So that, like, resting actually plays a huge role in our recovery and in actually greater long-term productivity. And that if we take strategic breaks, and there was research that found that if we take strategic breaks and have genuine downtime, we can show better problem solving, greater long-term productivity. So it's not, I think lazy is not necessarily kind of like the best way to describe it, because it's so laden with shame, the word lazy.
So what you're kind of saying is, and what this article is saying is, kind of bringing in these kind of breaks or moments where, as you said, we're not kind of acting at 100%. So when should we be bringing these breaks in specifically?
Well, I mean, I think we should bring them in as often as we need. And it's all about learning to recognize our signals, which can be very difficult for people. You know, like, there can be this intergenerational element where we might have grown up seeing our parents doing all the time. And sometimes economically that needed to happen. It was hard to actually, you know, rest and get a break. But, you know, after every bit of effort, we do need recovery time. Effort, recovery. We need to be able to kind of be driven from a place of, you know, soothing, from a place of rest and safety, connection. And I'll give you an example. For instance, I had a Leaving Cert student who told me, well, there's no way I can rest. There's no way that I... And for her, rest was going for a walk. But she was like, no, I can't do it, because it's going to take time away from my study and I won't get as good a result. And then, you know, obviously the thought for her behind that was, I need to prove my value. I can't be seen doing nothing. I need people to see that I'm, you know, I need to get the good result. Otherwise, I'm not good enough. But you see, what I tried to explain to her then was that actually, if she is to take the walk, if she is to do the thing that feels restful for her, then actually she will have a better attention span and better problem solving skills. She'll actually help her higher brain to actually be able to study better, because we can only sustain a certain amount of attention. We need to restore our levels of attention.
You're talking about that person there, and you mentioned shame previously. Why do we feel so guilty for doing nothing?
I think, yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the kind of, like, I think it's a cultural thing as well. I mean, I think the fact that we're even calling this lazy, like, this is not, resting is not lazy. Resting is essential. So I think it depends on the families we're brought up in as well. I think sometimes rest and listening to our bodily cues is not rewarded. And what I mean by that is, it's not noticed. It's not validated. It's like, you know, oh, well, you're just trying to pull a sickie off school today, or you shouldn't be lying there, you know, looking at whatever, you know, like, you should be working. You should be doing this. It's all about you should. And the problem is, now we've become very good at turning rest into another form of stimulation. So when we're on the sofa, we're scrolling, we're walking, but we're answering messages, we're having lunch, but we're checking emails. We're physically still, but our brains haven't actually stopped. And many of us have a negative voice inside our heads that says, you're being lazy, you know, by lying there and watching Netflix or going for your walk or whatever it is. But actually, you know, if this is really hard for somebody out there, it might be something that they talk to someone professional about, because, the body whispers before it screams. And what happens is, if we don't listen to those whispers from our bodies on a regular basis, it's going to scream and we're going to get sick, and it can create a lot of different issues for us.
You talk about, the body kind of crying out for that rest and it kind of coming a bit too late. I suppose one of the big things as well is, that internal voice, but also the external kind of societal pressures. Like, we have a text in here saying people do need permission to rest these days. My husband still responds to calls and work emails on holidays, but that is the expectation. Like, that's not just coming even from internally. We're dealing with so many external factors now as well.
Oh, 100%. You're totally right. I mean, we live in a society that's constantly asking us to be faster, achieve more, optimize, produce. It's all about, produce more. And even in terms of this article is talking about laziness as a superpower so that we can be more productive. It's almost like being productive has become the standard by which we allow ourselves to rest, which is crazy, because we're human beings, not human doings. And actually, it has such massive benefits. It's something we need to do. But it's really difficult to do that. And we're not talking about being lazy and kind of like losing our sense of drive, losing our sense of doing things and achieving things. We have three systems. One is threat, one is drive, one is soothing. In terms of the way that I work in compassion focused therapy. And really, if we're constantly being driven from a place of threat, if we're constantly reacting to the world around us and the messages we have growing up and not listening to our signals, that is threat, threat, threat. And, at a certain stage, it's going to become way overwhelming and it becomes this toxic drive. And what I'm really wanting for people out there is to be driven more from a place of soothing, where you give yourself. And what I'm talking about is, for me on a work day, I'd be like, I really need to sleep and switch off for 10, 15 minutes. And I set my alarm for 15 minutes, or I really need to go for a little walk, because looking out at the horizon can hugely change your state of mind when you're sitting at your desk all the time and you're very kind of, your problems seem so huge. But when you just go for that little walk, look out at the horizon, see that the world is going on outside you. There's a lovely term in this article that talks about soft fascination. So it's instead of trying harder to solve something, you might go outside, look at the sky, walk, or allow your attention to wander. Sometimes creating that mental space is precisely what allows a solution to emerge. And that's why some of my best ideas have come when I've been, like on holidays in the swimming pool. I know not everybody gets that opportunity, and but it's like, or on a walk, and suddenly you're like, why haven't I done that before? I really enjoy doing that. So it's about changing the perspective, and that can really, really help you.
Should we be kind of scheduling these micro breaks, these moments of laziness, I suppose, to make sure that we actually do it? Because as you said, if you're stuck in a cycle of busyness, of performing busyness, it can be hard to break that and snap out of it. Yeah. But then when I talk about, nearly regimenting or scheduling the breaks, I wonder, is that kind of counterintuitive, and will that add to people's stresses? How do we strike the balance there?
It's a hard one. It all depends on whether you're able to listen to how well you can attune to your bodily triggers. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes if we know we're going to have a busy day the next day, it could be something like what's called habit stacking, where it's kind of like, say I was in the office or something and I've had a really busy day. And I don't want to just come in the door to my family and my kids, because I know that I only have a 5 minute drive home or 10 minute drive home. And I need some time to restore myself before I walk into the house and all the things that the family and the house involve. So what I would do is park a few minutes away from where I live and go for a 5-10 minute walk just before I come in the door. So that's kind of like I've habit stacked. What I've done is gone, I am not going to park at my house. I'm going to park a few minutes away from my house, go for that quick walk, and then enter the house. A different Mally, to be honest with you. So it's kind of like, you know, trying to find those moments like, oh, I have 5 clients or 5 meetings today. When will I be able to fit in that quick nap that I want to? When will I be able to? And then also thinking, right, when I'm having my break now and I'm outside eating my lunch, say, maybe rather than be scrolling, you know, kind of endlessly, mindlessly on my phone, maybe I'll look up and just look at what's going on around me and go for a little walk or, you know, listen to music. Maybe that's fine, but just the kind of, I suppose, being selective, you know, like selective with what you're looking at and, you know, just, yeah. So I guess it really depends on the person, but, and also rest is very different for every person as well. So what restores me might not restore you. So it's kind of trying to figure out what is one thing in your life that you can do on a regular basis and try to incorporate that into your day a bit more. But if all this is, if you're feeling overwhelmed, I would certainly advise that talking to somebody or going to your GP or, you know, getting, it's not just about talk therapy, but there's lots of different, you know, types of restorative practices that might be very helpful for you.
How do you figure out what is restorative for you?
I think, how do you figure that out?
I suppose just adding another thing to your plate, I suppose, or, you know, kind of making it a trial or a task as well, and like actually realizing, okay, I'm feeling fulfilled by this. I'm feeling a bit energized, you know.
I'd start with your basic bodily signals. So the acronym I use is hungry, angry, lonely, tired, H-A-L-T. So in any particular moment where, like, you know, stuff is going down in work or I'm feeling really overwhelmed or whatever, right now, am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? Like, what's going on? And like, for me, I'm not great at reading my bodily signals, but I'm like, the more you attune to them and respond to them, the more you'll hear them. So now I'm kind of like, I know I have 7 o'clock, you know, 5 o'clock client to 7 o'clock client this evening. So I know that I'm going to need that 10 minutes rest. And I know that I'm going to almost have to force myself to lie there and rest. And my body will do that. But how do we know what, and then I know my body will thank me for it. So what is it that you know yourself, you know, like focus firstly on your basic bodily needs, like sleep and hunger and, you know, exercise obviously is also an important one. If you feel like, oh my God, I'm just dying to get out and go for a quick walk, I need to do that. Listen to yourself and do that. And I guess everybody, you know, has something else, says something that they really enjoy doing. I love watching crime on Netflix and listening to podcasts about crime. So that's what I do for my little bit. For me, that is restful. I enjoy that, you know. But yeah, I guess it really depends for everyone. What is restorative, do you think, for you?
There you go. Suspiogs for all. That is according to Mally Coyne. Mally Coyne, thank you so much. Chartered clinical and psychologist and author.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.